there, this is the Hot Spurs podcast, the Ginger Pele of Spurs shows, with Colin McKee, the former model from Northern Ireland, and Steve Robinson from Leon C in Essex. With all the latest news and views from White Hart Lane, this is the Hot Spurs podcast.
We had some fun telling you. That's when Ozzy had his dream, and then all Rick,
Right, straight into it then, Cole. We played at home, first home game of the season against Swansea. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, say obviously you were at the game, Steve. I'm just going to be able to go off, you know, what highlights I've seen, you know, on Sky Sports and on Match of the Day. But, you know, the main thing I wanted to bring across was it was another victory, another 3 points, and absolutely delighted with that there. That's, you know, we can't ask for anything more. We'd have loved, obviously, a couple more goals, but here, it keeps us under the radar. A few people are still having a few digs at us and saying, oh, it's taken two penalties for Spurs to win games. But, you know, I'm happy, and I thought it was a great all-round performance. And a couple of players, you know, will go in and we'll, you know, you'll get a few scores out here tonight for players. And I thought they were superb. Great win.
Yeah, the Hot Spurs podcast scoring system. We are carrying on. Yes. We're going to do it all season. So, but I'm the only one that watched the whole game, so I'm the only one that can really give it justice. So,
yes. I get told off. I got told off last week. I think someone made a wee comment on Twitter and had a bit of a dig at me. But
rightly so,
it's not going to put me off.
Way too harsh.
I think the big thing is that I can't really do it this week because obviously all I've seen is a few highlights. So what was it like? What was the build-up like, Steve, first of all? What was it like round the ground? And was there any different sort of an atmosphere?
Well, all right, we're getting to that first of all. The major problem was that because the Bell and Hare, yeah, it was closed, then it was open. It was absolutely terrible. I mean, apparently they only opened it on the morning, you know, and it's under new hands, and they didn't quite know how to do it, what have you. There was about three people behind the bar, couldn't get served for love nor money. The bar out the back, you couldn't get served there, and they only opened one door. So I walked in, boiling hot in there, and I saw the boys at the back, big Kev. He was midway for a story, all about Crystal Palace and how he couldn't get a ticket and all that. And I came along and interrupted the whole thing. He went, oh, do you know what? You're the only bloke who could interrupt my story and get away with it. So that was good. His hair's halfway down his back now, by the way. So yeah, that was funny. Dan Jones, Martin Heiser, another fella, Kev's mate, was there, who's met you. And yeah, they were all chatting away, but they all had a beer and I didn't have one. And I had the hump. So I said, right, you know, couldn't get one at the Pride of Tottenham. That was four deep as well. And decided just to go into the ground at about 3 o'clock because, you know, you want to have a little beer to settle your nerves and everything. So that was disappointing. Couldn't do the regular build-up. I hope they sort that out. I'm sure they will. In the ground, everyone looking forward to it. You know, brand new Spurs team, really. You know, four or five new faces, you know, if you include Andros Townsend. And, you know, let's go through this scoring system, the Hot Spurs podcast scoring system. Very, very excited about this. Go on, mate, what do you want to say?
Okay, well, we'll get straight into that there and get that over, and then we'll quickly chat about the game. So, yeah. Hugo Lloris, what's your scores?
Hugo Lloris gets a one. Unsung hero of the season so far. Fantastic. Loads of good saves.
Yeah.
Brilliant coming up his line.
Yeah, he made a fantastic save, didn't he, as well, Steve, from what... The guy came in at the back post and had a fantastic volley.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what he's there for. You know, huge long periods without doing anything, and then when he's called upon, he gets involved and he plays as we've said many times, as a sweeper and as a goalkeeper. So brilliant. Walker, I'm going to give a 0 to. Just gave the ball away far too much, and then he seemed to have a go at Andros Townsend. You know, for not being in the right place where he wanted to give the ball. I mean, sorry. You know, you can't do that. You know, look for Andros Townsend. He's quick, but, you know, he gave the ball about five or six times in the first half. Got better in the second half, I must say, but was very frustrating. Danny Rose, I'm going to give a half to. Played well, played all right. You know, but didn't attack as much as the Crystal Palace game. I don't know if he was told to hang back a little bit, not sure. But Danny Rose, I could give a half to. And quite interesting, though, the fellow in front of me in the second half, when Walker gave the ball away, trying to do something, he went, get him off. About 30 seconds later, Danny Rose tried almost exactly the same thing, and he went, oh, unlucky, Danny. And me and my mate burst out laughing. It was like, oh, right, yeah, get him off, but unlucky to the other one. So that just shows you, you know, but that just shows you where they were in that stage of the game. You know, we were really frustrated with Walker, but Rose, you could, you know, still trying things out. I think Rose needs to lose half a stone, though, I've got to say that. Right, moving on, Dawson. Yeah, I'm going to give a 1-2 for Dawson. And, I mean, Vertonghen definitely gets a 1, pure class. Do you see some of their tackles, those guys?
Yeah, it was brilliant. And I think, you know, Dawson's probably been under a bit of pressure again, maybe from, you know, certain supporters wondering with Kabul coming back and there's talk of this other new player coming in from Stade Bucharest. You know, I just think Michael Dawson from last season has been outstanding. And personally can't see and definitely don't want him out of the team. I think he's 100% Tottenham Hotspur. He's a captain. I noticed Vertonghen as well. I don't know if you noticed on TV, but when the final whistle went, Vertonghen actually turns around and jumps up in the air and punches his fist in the air. And it was brilliant to see. You know, there's a guy there. I think, you know, happy days. You know, we've won the match. We've got 3 points. So, superb.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, with the Kabul thing coming back, you know, we know what he can do. You know, I'd more or less get the three of them and switch them around, you know, game to game. You know, so it's Dawson, Kabul, then Kabul, Vertonghen, then Vertonghen, Kabul. You know, switch them around. Switch, you know, for the big games, then you obviously have to choose, you know, whoever you can rely on the most. You know.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, obviously it's going to take Kabul a bit of time to settle back in. You know, he's been out of football for over a year, so he's not just going to walk back into the team. So, look, I think that's the games in the Europa League and possibly the League Cup games and things coming up where Kabul, you know, he'll be the main starter in those.
Yeah.
And, you know, gets back to form. But, you know, certainly with Michael Dawson, there's no way and no reason why that guy should not be starting every week.
Yeah.
The way he's performing is outstanding.
I mean, against Arsenal, you have to keep those two. It's just, you know, there's no sentiment. We don't want sentiment anymore. We've had enough of sentiment. You know, but you've got to look at it and say, you know, those two are very, very reliable. You know, play really well together. So both get a 1, definitely. Now, Kapu, he definitely gets a 1 because he was fantastic. You know, what a signing. Huge, gives the ball brilliantly. Played a brilliant pass in the first, like, 30 seconds across the pitch, like you know, Huddleston-esque. But then, you know, chases it up, wants the ball, and his tackling is just fantastic. Faded a bit in the second half. You know, I think him and Paulinho looked a little bit tired, to be honest with you. And I think the substitution for Sandro came a little bit late. You know, brilliant, absolutely fantastic. I'm really excited about this guy. Dembele, I'm going to give a 0, actually, to Dembele.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that before the game, there was this, you know, the guy Windy was making comments. Oh, he picked his team and he didn't include Dembele. And I said, you know, why are you being negative about him? And he said he wasn't. He was just choosing Paulinho ahead of him and things. And we a couple of other people had a bit of a dig as well. But, you know, and I said, look, if I'm a massive Dembele fan, and you know, if you're right about him, then I'll succumb to your wisdom, sort of thing. And I was watching it again. Do you know what? He was right, because Dembele, for some reason, was really poor. You know, did a couple of those brilliant things, you know, like where he turns away from someone or he does a little jink or, you know, nonchalantly just takes someone on. Done a couple of those things, but gave the ball away a hell of a lot and just looked as if he's had a massive confidence loss. You know, so we've signed a couple of more players. A couple of players are getting all the plaudits, like Paulinho and Kapu, and it's almost as if he's gone, all right, well, I'll give up then.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say to you. Do you think he's feeling under a bit of pressure, you know, from these guys coming in? And obviously there's Sandro as well, you know, that's lurking now on the bench. Because one of the big things that I wanted to chat about tonight was whenever I seen our bench, that's the big difference now compared to what we were last season. And, you know, it's been absolutely, you know, brilliant to see, you know, that we've got strength there now and depth, you know, and there's still other boys to come back. You know, so maybe he is under a bit of pressure, but I still think the guy who is absolute class. I do think it's almost as if he knows that he can do more, but he doesn't seem to do it.
Yeah.
That's a strange thing with him.
He can do it, and you know, I don't want him to become another Huddleston where we know how much he can do, and you know, but he puts a bit of a strop on, or you know, when he gives the ball away. I mean, to be fair to him, he did put in a massive hard tackle in the second half and got himself booked, which I thought you know, that shows a bit of passion, that shows that he does care, and you know, Dembélé, we need you, so keep going, mate. You know, don't have many more of these games where you're giving the ball away. Paulinho, without a doubt, gets a one. Again, fantastic. What a player we've got here. I mean,
yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You know, our other teams have looked at this and gone, you know, how we have got brilliant. What a great start to Spurs' career, this guy.
Definitely, because obviously all I seen was Match of the Day. And I know Alan Shearer raved about him at the end of it. And they showed quite a lot of things that he'd done. He looks brilliant. I absolutely love the look of this guy.
Yeah.
And I think, Steve, he could be pushing Mr. Sander out for your favourite player, I think, very much so. He is just, he looks amazing. His energy, he reminds me a wee bit of Ramirez, you know, from Chelsea. He seems to have that pace and, you know, that energy, and he'll always be there. And like that run that he made at the very end of the game, you know, they showed it on Match Today where he flicked the ball over the head of two centre midfielders, went through and took another pass and went straight through. Very, very unlucky not to score. Doesn't he look brilliant, Steve? He really...
He wants to score a goal, which is great, you know, for a central midfielder who generally, I think, is more a defensive midfielder, still wants to get forward and score goals. You know, he's box-to-box. I think that's what they're saying about him. Sandro, by the way, I'm not going to include in this scoring system because I only came on with a few minutes to go, but, no, didn't put a foot wrong when he came on. And it was great to see him back. Soldado, I'm going to give a 1-2. You know, another goal. Brilliant penalty. I mean, what confidence to do that. And I thought he's going to stick it in the left corner like he has the other two penalties. And, you know, he's going to save it. Because that Vaughan, by the way, made probably the best save I've seen for years from Paulinho. Did it hit Williams on the line?
It sort of hit both of them.
I think he got a hand to it, though. But, I mean, I'll tell you what, that was a certain goal. I can't believe they kept that out. So Salado gets one. Chandley, I'm going to give half to. First half, not great, but really came into the second half. Do you know he's got a skill in him, old Chandley. But also, one great asset he's got is about half a foot taller than all the fullbacks he plays against. He's a massive bloke. So it's brilliant. What we was doing, when we was clearing it in the second half, you know, when it was back to the wall, that similar 1-0 up and, you know, like all those games last year, all of a sudden we start defending. I don't know why we do that. But he was a really good outlet, so they was hoofing it up to the left wing, and he was winning the headers. So, you know, that was good. And I thought he came into it in the second half. Not a great first half, so I'd give him a half. And Townsend, obviously, if I can give him 1.5, I would. But, you know, the scoring system, you can only give a one. What a brilliant... What he's up having a brand new player in the side.
Yeah, he looked absolutely brilliant. Steve, you know, only from highlights, but he looked fast, he looked dangerous. Should have had a penalty in the first half. I know he took a wee bit of stick for the penalty that they did get, but, you know, he definitely didn't dive. He caught the back of a guy's leg. He might have kicked the back of his leg. I don't think it was deliberate, Ben. But he just looked superb, and, you know, I don't want to slag Aaron Lennon off, but because I absolutely love him, but the guy just seemed to give us that wee bit more, maybe of a final ball. Did you sort of find that at the game watching him?
The big thing is he attacked the fullback every time he got the ball. Every single time he got the ball, he attacked the fullback, he went forward. I hardly saw him pass it back. And when he did pass it back, he went for the return. Whereas Aaron Lennon, as we all know, you know, 50% of the time he passes it back and then folds his arms and says, you know, don't give it back to me. He really, really has come in and said, right, this is my season. I've faffed about at about 8 or 9 other clubs. You know, and I've been at Spurs now. I've got my chance, and I'm going to take it. You know, I just hope he keeps it up. You know, he's got, as we know, you know, his dad's been on another podcast, and he seems, you know, a really good guy. I think he works for Spurs. And I think he must, you know, I'm just guessing here, he must have sat him down and said, listen, mate, you've got the future in front of you. Lennon, you know, he's been at Spurs for, what, 8 years now? You know, he still frustrates Spurs fans, although we love him, because, you know, he passes back too much. And that's our, that's my only criticism of Lennon, by the way. Just he, we know what he can do, and I know his defensive qualities, and I know all the other things. The thing that frustrates me, and I think all other Spurs fans, is when he got it and he got the fullback in front of him, and he turns around and passes it back. Well, I'll tell you what, Andrews Townsend hasn't done that once so far.
Yeah,
that's brilliant. So
can you see him starting against Arsenal?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's got to start against Arsenal. You know, even rest him in this game coming up to show that, you know, he's first team now.
Yeah.
Just to finish off then, Sigurdsson and Sandro didn't really play that much. I'm going to give him the score. Defoe I'm going to give a half to because he came on and was all right. He got in too many tangles with that Chico at the back. I don't know what he was trying to do with him, but should have stayed well away from him, really. So that's, 8.5 out of 12. Not bad. Pretty good score.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. No, but, you know, all round, Steve, I think, you know, to round the game up, it was 3 points. It's the start of the season. Obviously, the biggest problem is at the minute this transfer window still going on. And obviously, since the last show, it looks like we've lost William to Chelsea. I don't know whether that's been confirmed at all. But, look, you know, one thing I'll say to everybody out there that's listening about this guy, William, yes, I'm absolutely devastated that we didn't get him. But the more I thought about it, this guy was offered teams last year, and he took the opportunity. He went to Anzhi in the Russian league, and that is major proof that this guy's out there for the money.
Well,
he's not out there for the football.
What sort of bloke goes and has a medical at another side, and then decides to go to a team that's got 45 players in his position already? You know, exactly. Hazard, Mata. And goes, I fancy that. I mean, he will definitely spend at least 50% of the time on the bench unless he hits the ground running. Yeah. And I just love it. I'd just love to know, you know, did he actually ask the question? Just before I sign, what did John Terry say to Anton Ferdinand, by the way, just so I'm joining the right sort of club here? I bet he didn't. He just said, you know, how much are you going to pay me? All right, I'll have that then.
That's it. And that's what I'm saying. You know, he proved it last season as well when he joined Anzhi. And there's a few other guys. If you look at even Falcao and these guys all going to Monaco.
Yeah.
And I know Monaco are, you know, but you know, why is Falcao joining Monaco?
Yeah.
You know, when he could have went to, say, Man United or, you know, one of the biggest teams in Europe. You know, look, these guys, and Williams just proved that he's a money grabber. That's where he, you know, happy days. Away you go, mate, to Chelsea.
See you later. He might be great for them. He might have been great for us. We'll see what happens. But, you know, all the signs are that he's going for the money. Obviously, he might want to win trophies there as well. But, you know, we'll see how we get on. I watched Chelsea
last night and they were terrible. You know, it was one of the most boring games of football. I know Man United didn't help either. But, you know, if that's where they want to go... You know, look, I'm certainly not going to lose any sleep over that guy. I still think there's a couple more signings possibly to come for ourselves. But that's what I'm saying. You know, 6 points, Steve, that's all we could ask for.
Yeah. It's quite interesting, though, with that, William. You know, Mourinho said, oh, Mata's stay. You know, he wants Mata to stay. If I was William, I'd look at that and go, well, wait there. Well, what do you mean Mata's staying? So that means I've got to compete with him, and you're not selling Mata. Well, do you know what? Up at Spurs, they need a number 10. I think I'll go there. That's what I'd do if I wanted to play football. So,
but he doesn't. I put it on Twitter about Mata, and I know there's rumours, and I can't see it happening, but, you know, why are we not putting a big bid in for this guy, Steve?
I just think we want to leave Chelsea well alone, personally. I just think he's not interested in chatting to them. But we're all right. I mean, you know, we've got some other irons in the fire, and Bale's not gone yet.
Yeah, true. Again, we'll have to talk about him. You know, I still do believe that he will be gone. He will be gone.
Oh, you didn't say that last week.
Good enough.
No, I said I think he's going to go. I said, you don't have to be a big detective to say that we're buying all these players and, you know, Bale's going to go. And you said, well, I think he's going to stay.
I don't know. Well, I think...
You think he's going to go. I actually think he might stay now. So it's switched around.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, right, this is how I look at it. if you're Gareth Bale, which he comes across as a guy that isn't in it for the money, right? So, you know, he's born in Wales. He's not got Spurs connections as he's growing up. He probably supported Liverpool, Man United, someone like that. So you come and play for Spurs. So he doesn't have to stay for that blood connection, right? So then Real Madrid come in, the biggest team in the world, and they say, you know, do you want to come and play with us? Of course he's going to go, oh, yeah, I'd love to play, you know, at the Bernabeu, Real Madrid. What a fantastic opportunity. But then when it comes down to it and all this faffing around back and forth, by the way, Real Madrid still owe us for the Luka Modric. Real Madrid can't afford to buy Gareth Bale. You know, that's what I've been told by various people, and this is not on Twitter, this is by actual people who are connected with Spurs. Yeah. You know, they haven't got the money, they haven't paid for Luka Modric yet. So Bale's there going, you know, got to be looking at it, and got to look at those first couple of games, and right now he's got to be thinking, surely, do you know what, all these pundits are saying, if Spurs keep Gareth Bale, they could win the league. Well, why not win the league at Spurs, right? Maybe not this year. Well, no, it's going to be this year, isn't it, if any year. Go for it, though. Be in the hunt. Have a great season. Then go to Real Madrid next year when you're 25, or the next year, or the year after that when you're 26 or 27. But, my goodness, wouldn't you want to win the league with a side like Tottenham? You know, first time in years and years. Be an absolute hero. And then go and do your business in Spain.
Yeah, you're right, Steve. You're absolutely right in what you're saying. And
or at least play against Arsenal this weekend before going.
I think Anthony made a good point there on the Facebook page about that. You know, obviously it's not going to be match fit, but
look, it's so
difficult. But one thing I'm not worrying about, Steve, I am so happy with the squad that we've got. As you say, you've seen these guys live for the first time at the weekend, and you just look at Polinio and Capu and, you know, Chadley, Soldado, and like, there is still another couple. I really believe there's another couple of boys still to come in there. I think one of the big things that I've seen and sort of been hearing, that we're still missing that sort of playmaker, you know, that Luka Modric. And did you find that on Sunday, you know, that we're just missing that guy with a killer pass?
Well, we agreed that Luka Modric wasn't all that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, but he was still a top quality player, Steve. You know,
brilliant player, but
is that player that we're missing?
That unlocking the door. How many times did he actually do that when you look back at it? Not that often. Not that often. No, we've got players that can create. We've got players that can do stuff. You know, I think we're going to be all right. You know, Bale wasn't someone that unlocked the door. Bale was someone that swung his foot at it in the last 10 minutes to win us games, you know, a lot of the time last year. You know, we more or less need someone who can swing it. I mean, Andros Townsend was very, very close to scoring with a brilliant shot. You know, so... And by the way, we haven't even spoken about the Tbilisi game, but we don't need to really, you know, all that's been said on that, you know, that's all we need to know on that one. You know, with the Bale thing, there's a couple of other things that I would have done. I would have accepted the, you know, if they'd have said, right, 85 million or whatever, said, yeah, we agree to that. Yeah, that's fine. And then, waited 5 minutes and then email them back or fax them back and say, right, we bid 85 million for Ronaldo. Right? So, exactly the same. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then see what they say. You know, or start selling Ronaldo shirts in our shop. Why didn't we do that? You know, with the Bow shirts thing. Why didn't we start selling Ronaldo shirts on our thing? Well, he's not your player. Well, Ronaldo's not our player, but we'll do what you do. We should have erected a stage and all that sort of stuff. I don't know.
Look, it will all be... When's the transfer window close? Is it Monday?
Yeah.
I think Monday night. So, look, to be honest with you, Steve, I'm not overly worried about it. In my eyes, I think he's gone. And I'm delighted with who we have. A couple more would be brilliant. And we'll just see how it goes. And if you go, look, it's a lot of money. And, you know, Spurs can't turn that down.
Yeah.
You know, so, but
well,
look,
I don't,
no matter what happens, I'm more than confident we're going to have a fantastic season.
Yeah. You got to say, if they've got the money, if it's a done deal, why hasn't it gone through? Why hasn't it been done? It is an absolute mystery. And everyone's staying quiet on it. You know, it'd be amazing if he stayed. Absolutely. I think he's gone as well, but it'd be amazing if he stayed. I mean, coming back from the game on Sunday, listening to this guy Martin's story or Matt's story about TalkSport. Anyway, I mean, Sky Sports News is terrible with their speculation and what they're saying. Then you've got TalkSport doing exactly the same. But then they're even more matter of fact, because coming back, this Matt Story guy, who apparently is an Arsenal fan, goes, well, Bale, first of all, he come up with all these cliches, going, well, I don't agree that the players that Spurs have brought in are the same as Bale. You know, Bale would have been much better to keep Bale rather than buy all these players. So I put a question out there on Twitter. I said, would you want to give back Soldado, Paulinho, Capu and Chandley to keep Bale? And every single person said, no, of course not. So what a ridiculous thing to say. Mm-hmm. Keep Bale and you know, instead
not
of...
Not saying this case, yeah.
Ridiculous.
No.
And the other thing he said was... that really matter-of-factly just went, well, look, Bale's gone. They're going to unveil him on Tuesday. They've erected the stage. It's all been done. It's all done. And it's like, well, hang on a minute. Where are you? Are you reading that from your article in The People? I mean, because obviously, as we know now, it's now Tuesday night and it hasn't happened. So the way these guys talk matter-of-factly is they should lose their jobs. You know, imagine if I did that in school and said, you know, your son is getting a level 2 and that's good. And then on his report it says level 1. You know, that mum says to me, what do you mean? We could have had tutors, we could have had this, we could have had that. But you said he was going to get a level 2 and he's got a level 1. I mean, this is my son's education. And, you know, I'd get sacked for that because I've told a blatant lie. You know, these guys, they're not saying, oh, apparently it's going to happen. They absolutely said it matter-of-factly, with almost like a giggle in his voice.
Yeah, that's been the big thing. But, you know, that point you made about would you hand these guys back was a fantastic point to make. And, you know, none of us would. You know, I think we've all loved the transfer window. And because we've actually went out, usually what would happen is Spurs would be sitting, we'd all be sitting waiting for Bale to go in the last minute. And we would have, like, 2 signings.
Yeah.
And nobody picked it. Spurs, we've went out and broke the record twice. And we possibly might do it again. There's massive talk about this guy, Lamela, I think it is, from Roma.
Yeah.
You know, if this guy comes in, he's going to break. I've watched him on YouTube. He looks fantastic. You know, if this guy comes in and maybe Concentrao left back, you know, we're going to be dancing. And, look, I can't wait. Can't wait.
Yeah. Well, that's funny, because I was thinking about this also. I forgot to write this down, but I've just come to me. Actually, has Chelsea done Spurs a favour by signing Willian? Because what everybody thought was going to happen was Bale was going to go to Real Madrid, Ronaldo was going to go to Man United, Rooney was going to go to Chelsea. Okay.
Yep.
But the way it's turned out, because, and Willian to us, right? But because Chelsea have nicked Willian, they now don't need Rooney, which means that they can't sell Rooney, which means that Man United can't sell to buy Ronaldo, which means Real Madrid can't sell Ronaldo to buy Bale.
Yeah.
So Chelsea have scuppered it all up, and it's meant that we're going to keep Bale. How about that?
Oh, dear. It's getting better. It's getting better. We shall see. We shall see. Yeah. Right, look, we may move on, Steve, because we're running short on time. I'm just quickly going to do a couple of shout-outs and then fantasy football for everyone.
All right.
First shout-out, a massive shout-out to Wes Stitt, who's from Northern Ireland over here. Wes is a big follower of our show and a massive Spurs fan, and they've had a new baby daughter this week. So congratulations, Wes, from myself and Steve. And I've seen some of your pictures on Facebook, so it's great to see another Spurs fan born into the world. The other point is, and this will be up on our Facebook page tonight or tomorrow, I don't know if you're aware of this, Steve, but the Spurs Poet and also the Lisburn Spurs Supporters Club have arranged a Spurs Legends Night in Northern Ireland.
Yes, I did know.
And what it is, it's going to be on the 1st of November, and we've got Mickey Hazard and Graham Roberts, who have both been on our show a few times.
Yeah, brilliant.
And also Crackers is coming over to host it.
Yeah, he's
and you know, Davey Elder, you know, the Spurs Poet has done massive work there with the Supporters Club to get this all organised. And ourselves, the Hotspurs Podcast, are in association with it as well. Wow. And obviously I'll be there on the night. So the main point I want to get out there tonight is, look, if anybody wants to go, and obviously it mainly will probably be people that live in Northern Ireland, you need to get on to either our Facebook page and send me a private message, or to send the Spurs Port. The main way to do it is to go onto the Spurs Port page and send Davey a private message that you want the ticket. And once Davey gets this here, you'll need to confirm how many you want and get it paid. At the minute, I think there's only about 80 tickets left. There's over 100 gone already, because most of the supporters clubs over here in Northern Ireland have already taken them. So guys, if you're interested, check out our Facebook page. All the details are there. And also Davey's phone number's there. You can text him or private mail him. So that will be a brilliant night, Steve. And then I know a couple of 3 weeks later, you're coming to Northern Ireland for the first time.
Yeah.
Yes, big birthday party. It's my 21st. I can't believe it. That's fantastic. So I know Steve, you're coming over, which is great. And I sent a message out there to a few other guys. And the guys, get back in touch with me. And if you can make it, brilliant. If you can't, no worries. But I would love to see as many of you over. And it'd be a brilliant weekend. Brilliant weekend for us all.
Brilliant. We are dedicated to helping Stacey.
Yes.
So I put a little message on there to anyone that retweets will get a shout out on tonight's show. If I miss anybody here, just message me and I'll shout out to you next week. These people may have retweeted, but I've got them as followers as well. This is Bud Bird, Stewie, we've got Wayne Hansen, we've got Soupsack. Okay, we've got, who else we've got here? We've got Connell, we've got Paul Regalato, we've got, the page is Trek for Stacey. I think this is something that's happening in 3 weeks of fundraising.
Yes.
Yeah, so look that up. You've got THFC Lifer. You've got All Spurs. You've got Danny Griffiths. Spurs Forever. And this Bud Bird. Good name. Again, if you have retweeted, but I haven't mentioned you there, just let me know and we'll say your name next week, no problem.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I'd say the Save and Stacey appeal is massive, and you know we'll retweet anything there for them, and there is like a money giving page, and if he's can, if anybody did it, just a couple of pounds, it would be fantastic. It's for a great cause there.
Brilliant. Just a couple more things I want to talk about from Sunday.
Do you want me to get, sorry Steve, do you want to get fantasy football out of the way?
Yes, go for it.
Yep, we'll get that and then we'll get on to Sunday. Okay guys, fantasy football, I'm going to call out the top 10. Great news this week is that out of the top 10, nobody had any scum players, so well done guys. I don't know whether the guys that had the scum players last week have taken them out. But I shall read out top 10. In first place is Ricky Hill. Then we have Alex Scott, Jason Maxwell, Nick Alexander, Neil Webb, Stephen Taylor, Tommy Brown, Adrian Richards, Robert Palmer, and Clay Adamson. Steve, you're in 38th place. So you've dropped down, and I have went up above you. I'm up into 32nd place.
I didn't change my team, but I've got to get into that now, right?
You have, because do you want to know, I checked your team and you've got Gareth Bale in it. So you need to get that there sorted. So you're 38th.
I'm keeping him in. He's playing against Arsenal.
Most points this week, and I'm delighted this guy's got it. It's a guy called Dylan Legrand, and we've mentioned him a few times. And
from America?
France. Do you remember Lee's friend?
Okay.
And he's now living in England. I think he's moved over to Brighton.
Alright.
And he gets 69 points. So brilliant, Dylan. I know myself and you have had a couple of chats on Facebook, and I know that you're wanting to meet up with me and Steve at a game this season, so definitely we will get something arranged. I'll let you know what games I'm coming over to. So well done, Dylan. You get the most points this week. And just at the bottom of the league is Lee Wilson, Jason Richardson, Simon Short, Lee Berry, and Lisa Palente. I think Lisa is from maybe America, and her and her husband do it, and they were in the top 10, I think, last year. So, Lisa, you need to get a few transfers done there.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. I was just going to say a couple more points about Sunday. One of the things, they changed the screens. So now they put it on widescreen, but the only trouble is, you know, the big Jumbotron. Mm-hmm. The Jumbotron is a square. So they changed it to a rectangle, this widescreen rectangle. You couldn't see anything.
Right.
And plus, the screens are so old now. Now, I don't know if it's because, you know, there's the new development or what have you. You know, they're not going to bother changing them. But I'll tell you what, if I were for Hewlett-Packard and I looked up and saw these screens, I would be absolutely embarrassed. Because obviously you've got the huge screens and either side you've got HP. And all around the ground you've got HP. And a bloke behind me who was brilliant, he really made me laugh because he just went, "Is it?" You know, as you know, I sit up in the West Stand, so you know it's a little bit posher and what have you. And so the bloke behind me goes, "Isn't this what Hewlett-Packard do? You know, these screens, isn't it what they do? I mean, it's bloody ridiculous." And I really made me laugh because it's like, yeah, guys, you know, you look at these screens and you can't believe that a company sponsors Tottenham, has all this money, and doesn't sort the screens out, which is what their job is, you know, computer screens. It was absolutely ridiculous. So I hope they change that back to the old format. And the other thing is, I've said this before, sort out the staff at the food counter. I mean, why on earth they don't line up load of hot dogs and beers at half time? So it's really quick, you know, make it a fiver for a hot dog and a beer or £6 or whatever it is if they want to milk a bit more money out of you. So you just hand over your money, you know, £10, two hot dogs, two beers for you and your mate. Go and get it really quickly, bang, bang, bang. But they haven't. They've got these kids there, and it's not their fault. You know, they're obviously terribly trained. It's like they're all faffing about with the cash register. They can't work that. But, you know, you say, "Can I have a Coke?" And they go, "Sorry, what'd you say? A Coke?" You know, they can't even hear what you're saying because it's so noisy. And they're not, like, trained to listen carefully or, you know. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's, you know, 25 people all trying to get, you know, from one person, everybody's absolutely rammed in there. You know, you think you've missed such a trick here. If you want to, you know, milk the money out of all your fans, get all the hot dogs and pies all lined up and get them out, bang, 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 so that you think, you know, at half time, I'm really thirsty, I'm a bit peckish, I'll go and buy one of your extortionately ridiculous big bags of Maltesers for £5 or whatever it is. But at the moment, you can't even get there to be exploited.
Yeah, you're right, because like the last three or four games I've been to, I actually don't even bother at half time anymore, even getting down. I maybe just get up to stretch my legs. I don't even try and get a beer.
Yeah.
You know, or something, because I can't be bothered with it. So maybe that's something. Maybe people need to start, you know, maybe we should tweet the, you know, at Spurs official and maybe start to try and make people aware of this.
Just get a load of, I mean, there must be a load of kids on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon in the Tottenham area who've got nothing better to do. You know, come to Spurs for a couple of hours. We'll pay you, you know, a bit of money, you know, to come and help us out. I mean, it's not difficult, surely. So there's a couple of moans there. Plus, you couldn't get a beer before the game, which is horrible. What else have I got here? So we've got, I mean, Arsenal at the weekend. You know, it's funny because I was in the pub last night watching the Man United-Chelsea game, and it was really weird being a Spurs fan because, obviously, in the pub, where I live, there isn't really a nominated team. We're quite away from everything. You know, Southend, obviously, is the nearest team, but maybe West Ham. But, you know, there's loads of fans from every one of the top clubs. And there was the biggest collection of smug and smarmy blokes I've ever known. You know, like the penalty appeal was like, "Oh, yeah, definitely a penalty." But they were so smug and smarmy about the whole thing. And by the way, Mourinho, who, for my sins, I actually find entertaining and quite like, is the most smug bloke in the world at this present time, isn't he?
Can't stand him anymore.
Goodness.
The way he got on in that press conference, Steve, about William, I thought was an absolute disgrace.
Why did he nod when they say he's made, he said, "Oh, I think he's made up his mind, he's going to Chelsea." Why did he nod? That is so smug to do that.
Is an absolute disgrace, so he was, and for me, I was delighted. I was actually quite looking forward to seeing him back, and once I seen that press conference, that was it. You know, I'm finished with a guy, and
do you know what? They've looked average, haven't they? And that Terry, how he didn't get that penalty against Aston Villa. He played volleyball. He had his hand right up. There's ball to hand. That's what I've absolutely fine with ball to hand when your arm is down by your side. But if your arm is up in a penalty box, exactly. I mean, I've no wonder you were livid, like Aston Villa manager.
And, you know, Ivanovic could have been sent off twice as well.
You didn't get that, did you?
Yeah.
Paul out for you.
All right. I've asked people. I look nothing like the guy. Nothing like him.
Yeah, he's nowhere near as good looking. But listen, so that was weird. Anyway, mate, we've got Arsenal at the weekend.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Isn't it strange? It's such a strange feeling about it. I think it's because it's so early in the season. And a lot of people said that about the United game last night. It was just, it doesn't feel like it's real. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it's happening. But one couple of big points I'll make about it is, well, tonight Arsenal have went through in the Champions League. But Podolski, he went off injured and he looked very good for them at the weekend.
Yeah.
He done his hamstrings, so looks like they've lost him. And the one big benefit, hopefully, is Arsenal are going to spend money. No matter what anybody says, they're going to buy players this week, but they're not going to be ready in time, you know, for the North London Derby on Sunday. So one benefit we've got, we're away to Arsenal, but they're not going to have all of these two or three new players in.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big bonus for us. And you know, Steve, we're looking so strong. Our midfield, we're a completely different team. And, you know, with Pelinho and Capu and Sandro in there, Soldado up front, you know, we're dangerous, and I'm really looking forward to it, mate. Really am.
I remember three seasons ago, we went there really strong, really looking great, and we lost 3-0. And it was like, hang on, wait there, what's going on? We've been doing fantastic, and we completely and utterly capitulated. I hope that doesn't happen. Yeah. Then obviously you got the 5-2s, the one where we were, you know, what was it, 10 points ahead, then we were 2-0 up. I mean, that was a dreadful performance by ourselves. Last season, completely different kettle of fish. Adebayor got sent off for a ridiculous tackle. And, you know, the more and more I look at that, by the way, I think he was unlucky. Yeah, it was a terrible tackle, but, you know, it wasn't one of these, you know, diving in with 2-foot leg breaker. It was just he lost control of it and he tried desperately to get it back. Terrible tackle, you know, and yeah. I can see why he got sent off, but could have just got a yellow so early in the game. But Mr. Howard Webb obviously give him a red. Cheers for that.
Do you know who the referee is this week?
Yeah, it's not him. It's not him. I can't remember who it is, but I don't think he's... definitely not him. I don't. It's someone that hasn't given us a dodgy decision yet, but he probably will. You know, it's not, you know, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. All we've got to pray for is that this time it's them that has the bad luck. Because, yeah, like I say, week in, week out, you know, every time we play a top side, we don't get the massive slice of luck that these other sides do. You know, a ball crossing the line when it hasn't actually gone in. One of their players making a terrible rash decision, getting sent off after 15 minutes. Something that's very controversial. Something that, you know, not like this Andros Townsend penalty. You know, that wasn't terribly controversial. Yeah. Shelvey came across him. There was minimal contact, but you can see why he's given it. There's nothing dreadfully controversial about it. Unlike, you know, if Ashley Cole went through last night, do you see that? And he sort of just threw himself on the floor. Oh, you know, that would have, if he didn't give the penalty, but if he had done, that's a terrible decision. So, yeah, but we are desperate for one of these terrible decisions to go our way.
Yeah, but look, I think it's a good time to play them. You know, they were terrible against Aston Villa. They then went and beat Fulham, you know, a decent enough performance from them. And, you know, obviously they beat Fernabachi in the Champions League. Look, it's not a bad thing. As you were saying, it's probably better that we're playing them now than them losing two or three games in the trot and everybody being against them. But, you know, the big thing is they've lost Podolski tonight. They're going to have nobody really new in the team. And you know, we're up and running. And, you know, no matter what anybody says, we're a far, far stronger team than we were last year already.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for. And look, the big thing is, it's not the end of the world if we do lose to them. You know, we're ourselves and Liverpool are the only two teams with the 100% record. Gives us a wee bit of a cushion already get into it. But if we can take a draw or beat them, then happy days, mate. It'll be great.
Yeah, I mean, the midfield. I'm looking at Sandro, Paulinho, and Capu. I mean, what a strong streak that is.
Do you think he'll play Sandro?
I hope so. I hope so. I mean, I absolutely love the guy.
Do you think he might go that way and leave Dembele out?
I think he might do.
Okay.
Or if he thinks that Dembele, you know, he works with Dembele week in, week out. If he thinks that's going to be really negative against the guy, you know, maybe, like I say, he needs a boost of confidence. So maybe he says, you know, Dembele, you know, go for it. You know, show us what you can do, mate. You know, because we know what he can do. You know, and just say to Sandro, you know, still a bit soon, you know, who do I leave out, sort of thing. Because that's what you've always got to consider. So, you know, we know the team roughly. It was interesting to see Adebayor and Benny at the game in that box. Did you see that picture?
Yeah, seen that, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So if they fancy actually turning up and playing, we know what qualities they have. Holtby, he's back. He's looking good as well. Oh, dear. Hey, this is going to be great, isn't it?
What a squad. I'll round it all off. My 11-year-old son, Christopher, I know I talk about him a few times on the show. We were sitting last night watching the Man United game, and he had his iPad out, and he had up the Man United team, someone that must have had the starting lineup. And I was just sitting watching him, and he said to me, "Here, Dad," he said, "I'm looking at this Man United team, and the only player that I would have out of it is Van Persie, compared to Spurs." And I said, "Is that right?" So we went through the two teams. And do you know what? He was exactly right. And I went, there's not one Man United player I would take other than Robin van Persie.
Yeah.
So, you know, Vidic
is pretty good, though.
So, well, Vidic, and I said to him about Evra. Yeah. I sort of liked Evra, maybe, you know, for left-back. But, you know, 85% of the players that I would be Spurs players.
Yeah.
And we've got them. And,
again, a massive shout-out. A massive shout out to Loris, who's been the unsung hero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Been fantastic for us.
Yeah. There's not another goalkeeper, Steve, you'd want.
Let's have a prediction then.
I told you I didn't want to do this anymore.
I'm going to push you each week. You got to do
it. Did I get it right? Yes, you said we would lose last week.
I did.
And I got it right again.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, I don't know about that.
I think we're going to draw 2-2.
To each. Okay, I'm going to say they'll score first, but we'll win 3-1.
Okay, I'll take that. Do we get another penalty?
Hope so.
What about no penalties all last season and we get one every game this season?
Wouldn't that be nice?
36 penalties.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know, we should have had two on Saturday.
I'll tell you what, 3-1 and we miss a penalty. How about that?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I'll take a 1-0 win on a penalty kick again.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is, 3 points.
Yeah, yeah. All right, buddy.
Okay, mate.
Yeah, so really looking forward to it. We've got, obviously, Dano Tbilisi coming up, but, you know, we're through on that one by the looks of it. I think we did this against Inter Milan last year, didn't we? And we said, oh, yeah, we're through on that one. We don't need to talk about that. And it blooming well went to 9-3. But, no, I think this one's safe. I'd like to see a lot of the other players get a game. The rest of the big names. Definitely rest Andros Townsend, all ready for Sunday.
Yeah.
Got into the England squad as well, so that was fantastic for him. And, you know, things are looking good. Next week's show may be doom and gloom. It may be we'll be talking about Bale staying.
Could that happen? Well, the thing is, next week's show is going to be probably on the Tuesday. Transfer window closed, a North London derby victory.
Yeah.
What a night. What a show. We might have to do a bumper edition.
All right, mate. Come on, you Spurs.
Okay. Come on, you Spurs. Come on.
It may not be the same temperature as they have in sunny Spain, but the heat is somewhat rising in the depths of White Hart Lane. The soldier has an army in check with pure heart and some bravado, scoring goals for the lily white shirt, the one and only Roberto Soldado. He may be the record signing, but you pay for what you get, and 26 million bad boys takes away the lines of fret. A goal scorer and forward man, a man who can lead the line, a player calm under pressure, Bobby Soldado will fit just fine. A player who will thrive in support, a player who can win the golden boot, a player who will bring that frontal class and who will make others soon follow suit. And the fact we never get penalties, and when we do, we usually miss. Now we have the type of player who's really an expert at this. Thank God for Bobby Soldado, who came from sunny Spain. He joined the ranks of every B to score goals at White Hart Lane. Now we have the player we sought, the player who can lead us to the end. Roberto Soldado, goal machine. Champions League qualification, this man can send. Come on, you Spurs. Robbie Soldado, he came from sunny Spain.